August 21st, 2009, approximately 11:50 a.m., Corporal Eric Edwards, Orange County Sheriff's Office, in a conference room at the Holiday Inn at, what's the address here, sir?
5750 T.G. Lee Boulevard.
And in the room?
Detective Mike Erickson, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Homicide Unit.
And can you state your name for me, sir?
Yes, it's Brett Churchill.
Is this your correct address here?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, Brett. We had chatted for a couple of minutes here before we got on tape regarding your involvement with Texas EquiSearch, and I'd asked, I just wanted to establish whether or not you were currently a board member or represented in any way by any attorney.
No, sir.
That may be representing that. Okay. That
no,
group.
Sir.
You had stated to me, though, back when Texas EquiSearch was in town and they made an Orlando chapter, you gave me a list of names of people that are actually at that time were elected board members. Can you give me those names again?
Yes, it was myself, it was Bill Fitzgerald, Lynn Hinkle, Thielen Brock, Jamie Copenhaver, and the last girl was Stephanie, and I cannot remember her last name. I don't know her last name.
Okay. Now, you told me that you were involved in a majority of the searches when they came down.
I was involved in all three of them, plus in between the searches, we did it on our own. A group of us stayed together and searched.
Who was it? What was that group? Who was that?
In that group was my wife, Lori Cree, Tony Rovinsky, Anna. Oh, what's Anna's last name? Don't remember Anna's last name. Ralph, don't remember Ralph's last name. I just remember most of their first names. Michelle, her sister Karen, Joe Jordan, and there was one other girl, I'm trying to remember her name, Jennifer Craig. And that was pretty much it.
If I asked you, Jennifer Craig?
Mm-hmm.
If I asked you for phone numbers on these people, could you give them to me eventually?
I could probably give you all but Jennifer Craig and Joe Jordan. I don't know their numbers at all. I'd have to look them up.
Okay, that's fine.
I was just involved in the group. I wasn't kind of leading the group or anything. We just were a group of people that were dedicated and trying to help find that baby.
Right. Now, the first topic I'd like to talk to you about, now that we've established who our main players are, during those searches, the three different searches and then your own independent searches,
mm-hmm.
did you at any time go down and search the area that the child was eventually discovered?
Yes, absolutely. I've been in that area four times.
Four times?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Twice, once with Texas EquiSearch and three times on our own.
Once with Texas EquiSearch?
Yes, the very first search that they conducted, one of their members was Helen, and I don't know Helen's last name. She was out of Texas. She led us. And there was a fairly large group of people, and we ended up at the church off of Chickasaw. And five of us left the church to go basically recon an area, which was that area there. And those five people were Helen, Lori Cree, my wife, my daughter Kristen, and myself. That was at the very first search.
Brett and Shelley?
Mm-hmm.
And you said your daughter?
My daughter Kristen. Yes,
Kristen?
She was
K-R?
K-R-I-S-T-E-N.
Okay. How old is she?
She's 25.
25. Okay, so she's not a juvenile.
No.
All right, so when you went down and surveyed that area,
we basically went off to check this area out because the church with the rest of the people wasn't a very large area for the amount of people. So we decided to go check that area out to see if it was worthy of bringing all the people down there, which we stayed on the very, let me see which end would this be. It's on the econ side. Excuse me a second, I'm going to turn this off. It was on the econ side. headed towards Econ. I think it's a utility area for OUC or Progressive Energy or something like that. It's
down by the school?
Yes, it was down. That was the corner that we originally started in, and we just kind of looked around that area and realized it was big enough to bring the rest of the group in. Helen and myself at that time, we went down into, there was a rolling gate at the end of the road. We went past that down into the, what I call the utility drive or whatever it is there. It was a pretty big dumping ground for it. It looked like the neighbors have been dumping a lot of garbage in there. My wife, Kristen, and Lori, they walked the edge of the street headed back towards where Kaylee's body was found. But they, to my knowledge, they never made it exactly to that end of the, at that end of the street where they actually found her. They stayed more on the curve there. The growth, it was like 6 feet of briars and I think they call it potato vines. It was just terribly, terribly thick. You couldn't get into that area, and there was a couple accesses where you could. You'd have to fight to get in there, but the water on the other side was it was thick. There was snakes. I did see copperheads in there at another time when we were in there.
Okay.
But the water all the way up to the last search was, there was water in that area to the point where I always wore rubber boots, knee-high boots, and it would be at least, I'd say, 8-10 inches deep in that area where you couldn't walk in there without knowing what you're walking on.
Let me ask you, so that's the very first time when you were with Texas?
The very first time. I never even got down to that area. I was on the far end.
Lori, Shelley, and Kristen did.
They walked up the street, yeah, okay. But I don't know if they ever got to that area.
So I could, at least I have three people I know I can check with specifically for that, for that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that 100 people that was at the church or so, when they came down and y'all said, have at it, it was more out towards the school? Or
yes,
so
it was more on the end of the school. We all went down into the utility area and just started combing that area pretty thick.
Okay, so there was never, now, you know, knowing what you know and seeing on television, and maybe even you've driven past there now and can see where the recovery was made.
I was there the day after she was found, and
okay.
It, how they pretty much raped that area pretty bad.
Well, we searched it very, very thoroughly. That being said, though, you playing an active role in coordinating searches in that area, do you ever recall an actual grid search or a shoulder-to-shoulder or any kind of a foot march through that area
no
that
way.
Would have... Okay.
No way.
You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
We're looking for if there was a group of people or a small group, large group, whatever, that went through that area, we wanted to determine if it was...
No way. There's no way you can. I mean, I ventured on our own at times. I ventured down into that area because the ladies couldn't. There was no way. But I would get in there chopping my way with a machete, and it was... No. People couldn't walk in there. It was all water. It was water all the way up to the vegetation. It was like a steep... The vegetation come from the road in, and it was just a steep drop off down to the water and the wet area in there.
Okay.
There's no way that they could do any kind of a grid search.
So as far as your involvement with Texas EquiSearch and your independent searches with these other people that you named,
mm-hmm.
never was there a shoulder-to-shoulder walk through that area?
No, sir.
Would have definitely located this discovery?
No, sir.
Okay.
Or we would have found it.
And if you could say the primary reasons and you could list them, what would they be?
The brush was thick in the water. There was no possible way. You couldn't step in the water without pulling out of your shoe because the mud was so, you know, nasty and terrible there.
Well, what time frame would that be then? That would be the first time when you were with Texas EquiSearch,
yeah.
And then these other three times on your own. What months are we talking about?
Well, let's see. When did they come the first time? Was it August, September? I don't remember the dates when they first came. From that point all the way to the third search, we spent many, many days searching on our own, and we were down in that area. Something kept drawing us back there. Don't know what. But we searched quite heavily down in the trails back on the far end. As far as that area there, we kind of steered away from it because we knew the conditions. You couldn't physically get in there. It was really, really hard to get in there.
Okay. Now, though that mass force of 100 people never were instructed to search there. What about canine searches? Do you know on that particular day if there was any cadaver dog activity?
I believe I remember one individual with a dog. His name is Danny Abeason, I believe his last name was. He went in there tried to get in there with a dog. I believe he might have been with Lori during that time, Lori Cree, mm-hmm. and we were like all on the other end. I don't know if it was that same day or not. I don't remember.
Okay.
I mean, we killed ourselves searching for that little girl. I mean, I've been in areas that humans don't belong, and that was one of them.
So there was no conversation that you can recall of, hey, we had an alert over here, or, you know, this no. could be a good place, but we can't get in it, or anything along that line?
No.
Okay, there's another topic that's been mentioned through doing these interviews. What's that, number two? It has been brought to our attention that during, I believe it was, I'm not sure, one of the searches that y'all were here, in this facility, mm-hmm. that Tim Miller actually visited the Anthony home.
I don't believe that was during one of the searches. That was a time where Tim and his girlfriend Lisa were here, and they were talking with the Anthonys, I believe, at that time. It was before the second search, maybe, or before the third search. It was a week or two before the actual search took place. I remember Tim did go to their house to talk to Casey and her parents.
Who was with him, do you know?
I believe his girlfriend Lisa was with him, and I believe that was all that I know of, just those two. Okay. I didn't get involved with them because that's not my cup of tea. I wanted to search. That's all. That was my main thing.
Okay.
I stayed away from the politics and the drama, is what I call it. But, he did come back here to the hotel. Unfortunately, I work here, and he was here staying here. And I was talking to him one evening, and he did mention he was very angry. And the words he said to me was, "I almost had her." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "I had talked to Casey, and I had a map in her bedroom with her, and I had her convinced to put an X on the map of the location of a body." And he's like, "I left the room to give her a chance to think about it, and her father went in there. And her father came out approximately 30 minutes later and said she's ready to put the X on the paper." And I believe her mother stood up at that time and said, "No, get the hell out of my house. I don't ever want to see you again." And that was, Tim was very upset with that. And he came back to us at that time and asked us to stop searching for Kaylee and revert our attention over to the Jennifer Kessie. Apparently Mr. Kessie wanted some help. So the group that I normally search with, we all got together the following weekend and did some work for Jennifer Kessie's family. And that was pretty much the last thing I heard about that incident. Really, it wasn't none of my business. I really...
Well, let me ask you. I mean, knowing that... Well, let me go back. I got to get a couple things shored up here. So Tim and Lisa from Texas EquiSearch went to the Anthony's home with this map and came back here. Who witnessed or who eventually became aware of that occurrence?
I know myself was here and Lori Cree was here, and we were the two that actually heard it from Tim. And eventually later on in the evening, my wife came in and we mentioned it to her. She stopped by the hotel.
Did Tim talk to Shelly about it?
No,
you guys just told Shelly about it.
Yeah, we told her about that.
Okay. What other parties then may have seen Tim upset about that shared that story? Just the two of you, you and Lori, or were there more individuals?
Well, there was a lady he had with him here. Her name was Judy. She was, I believe, on his board of directors in Texas. Judy McNulty, I believe her name was. She was here to get an idea of the things Tim did. And that particular evening, he met with Mark Neejames. I don't know if they discussed any of that, though. That was...
You actually saw Mark here?
Yes, sir. I was introduced to Mark, shook his hand, and left it at that, because they were having a meeting.
Media event right here?
Yes, sir. And that was between Tim, Lisa, and Mark. Those three stayed up at the bar area and talked.
At the bar.
Well, they were sitting at the tables back by the bar, yeah.
Was during that conversation, was Lori or any of these others present as well?
No, sir. Lori and I were together, and that's when my wife came outside and we talked about it and then we left. We actually had done some searching that day and were reporting it back to Tim because a lot of the things that we would find we thought were of interest, we would report back to him, hoping they would go back and check it or whatever. A lot of it didn't get checked. A lot of it never got went back on.
Whatever was flagged?
Yeah.
Wasn't checked later?
No.
Chief? Okay. So this Judy...
I know very little of Judy. I know she's a famous book author, and she was joining on to Tim's board of directors, and she came along with Tim, I believe, to get a feel for what he does in the field. And I sat outside and talked to her a few times and learned about her, and you know, type of she writes books. Is all
she knew about the incident though with the map.
That I have no idea.
Okay,
I have no idea.
Possibly is what.
Possibly she could have. Yeah.
Now, you said that you were sitting outside here with Tim Miller that same evening?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, he came out. He was a smoker, and there's no smoking in our building, so he would go out front and sit on the bench and have a cigarette. And we were talking to him that evening when he told us this, what had happened during the daytime events.
And you said George Anthony had driven by?
Yes, sir.
What time was that?
It was dark out. I don't know. It was during that same time frame. It was probably... 9-ish at night, he drove by out on the T.G. Lee Boulevard here. I don't know what he was looking for, who he was looking for, but he did drive by.
And you actually saw him then?
Yes, sir.
Did he come through the lot where you saw him? Or
No, he just... I didn't see him come through the lot. He just drove down the main street out front here.
What did Tim Miller say about that?
He just said, "There's George," and he jumped up and ran back in the building. That was all he said. I don't know if he really wanted to be seen by George Anthony. I don't know. I didn't have a whole lot to say with Tim. I tried to keep my nose out of it because my purpose was just to try to help search.
I'll probably get with you for phone numbers for these other individuals that may have witnessed that or were involved in those searches down here, the after searches.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
Those are going to be the same people that everyone else is interested in talking to, so try to do the same and make sure we look into everything that's brought to our attention. Do you have any questions for me, Brad?
No, sir. No. Like I said, just answer any questions you have. Truthfully, I don't have no reason not to. It's kind of upsetting that we didn't find her, but unfortunately the conditions weren't really in our favor down there. So, and like I said, we never really, really got into that area because of the amount of water and the brush and stuff. So it was very upsetting for my wife the night that she actually found out where she was at because the amount of times that we'd been in that area.
Do you know if during those other EquiSearch, you know, where the people were logging in and going and doing searches, do you know of any other group separate from yours that was sent to that same area to search?
Oh, you know, I do know of two other guys that went in there. One of them's name is Richard Creek. Richard Cree. I do have his phone number if you'd like.
Okay. Cree?
Cree, yeah.
C-R-E-E?
I believe that's how you spell it, yeah. I'm really terrible with names, but...
Is that kin to
him and a gentleman
Lori?
By the name? No, there's Lori. I guess they would call him Richard Creek. Everybody's got funny names, but here's his number if you'd like it.
Okay.
It's 863-399-2379. He lives down in the St. Cloud, Kissimmee area. And another one along with him is a gentleman by the name of Brett Riley. And I think I've got Brett's phone number in my phone here, too. Let's see, here he is. 321-945-0866. I haven't talked to neither one of those guys for quite some time, but I remember Richard telling me he remembers being in that area at one time. I think I've got a few more numbers that you want on your list that I can give you.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find them. Tony Rovinsky. Mm-hmm. I've got his number here. Right there. 813-451-2773. And then I got Thielen Brock. Her number is 407.
Give me one second.
Sure. Some of these people have stayed together and we've joined a different organization and we've all became federally certified in search and rescue, so it's just something we like to do, I guess.
Thielen Brock. Yeah. Thielen Brock?
Thielen. T-H-E-O-L-Y-N. Brock is B-R-O-C-K. And her number is 407-851-6309.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let me see if I got Bill. Bill Fitzgerald. I might still have his number. I believe Bill is still involved with the Texas EquiSearch. I don't see it here anymore. I must have deleted it.
Was Bill aware of that incident down at the Anthony home? You know what?
I don't believe so, no. At least I don't know of him knowing that. He wasn't actually with like the group of people I was with that searched all the time. He actually did some mapping work for them during the searches. He's what we call the map guy. But I believe he's kind of like their chairperson now for their local organization.
If anyone calls you and, you know, regarding you guys being bombarded with these media release calls and things of that nature, mm-hmm. and you know, like these fellas, for instance, I may reach out to them today or try, but if they give you a shout, just give them my number and let them know I'm looking to interview everybody.
Sure.
All right. Do you mind?
Sure.
You raise your right hand.
When each time you went into that area where she was found eventually,
mm-hmm.
Was it always very wet, or was it ever dried up? Or?
It was never dry. I was actually surprised when they found her and they stripped that land, how dry it was. And that was quite a while after that last search that, you know, and I actually never left their command center on the last search. I was doing the debriefing forms when people came back. So I don't know what the condition was on the last search, but I can tell you this, I was actually involved in riding in Orange County's helicopter where we took some pictures of the area, and from the sky the water was very evident. We flew over that area, or they flew over for us.
That's where some fellow was taking pictures with a new piece of equipment or something?
Yeah, there was two of us in the plane. One gentleman's name was Bill Todd, or in the helicopter. One guy, his name was Bill Todd, he lives in California. He was one of the EquiSearch people that came to Florida here. And him and I went up in the helicopter with the two officers, and we took pictures off both sides of the window. And I believe his side, the right side of the craft is where he was taking, because they were turning to the right. He took a lot of the pictures up there with the cameras, and it was very, very wet. You could see it right through the tree line that it was still soaking wet in there.
His name was Sean?
No, Sean Hennedy is the one that asked us to go up. His name was Bill Todd.
Bill Todd.
Yes, Bill and Carolyn Todd. And I might even have their number still. Let me look. I know I'm sure I got it at home. Cause
Bill Todd.
Bill Todd, yep. Let me see if I still got Carolyn's number here. Him and his wife Carolyn were... No, I don't have his number, damn it. Not with me anyway.
All right, so those are... Sean didn't go and take those pictures. You and...
No, sir. Sean Hennedy was actually from... He's from Indiana, and he was here... I don't really know his reason why he was here, to be honest with you, but he kind of ran the command center on the last search. And Sean, what he does for a living, I believe, is creates these drones for the military that are able to fly in and out and take pictures, whatever. But he has also created some sort of a computer module that you can input pictures and it enhances it into a 3D form where they can get a clearer picture of the ground. Quite an operation he had. And he asked us to go up and get the pictures for him. And then I handed the cameras back over to him that day. It was actually the Friday before that third search started. I went back on Saturday to the airport over here, the business airport, and spoke to the officers that took us up, and they gave me a CD of what their cameras took too. And I handed that over to Sean, and I believe he gave that to John Allen that day. I believe that's what he did with that. Okay. But the pictures were just basically, they were going to input them into this model and see if they could detect anything, you know, from the air.
Which search was that?
That was the last one, last the third search. One, yeah. Like I said, I didn't get to go out and search that one. I stayed right at their command center, and was Bill Todd and I were actually what they called the debriefing team. We took care of debriefing the teams that came back in.
Okay. Yeah, because we didn't have our hands in that very deep. We just were kind of standing by, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we were going to go up in the helicopter again. It was kind of funny. We went out there that same night that I went up during the morning, and they were going to take us out, and they said, oops, we can't do it. Too many rivets fell out of the helicopter. we don't want to put it off the ground right now. So.
Well, you got to ride one of the old ones.
Well, I don't know if it was old. It was a nice chopper. It was my first time, and it was really nice. Like sitting on the couch watching TV. It was really nice.
Just a little bumpier.
Yeah. Well, it was bumpy when we got over the dump because of the birds, and they were bobbing and weaving to miss all the birds. And
nice.
Yeah. It was fun.
Brett, can you raise your right hand for me?
Yes, sir.
You swear everything you said today is true?
Absolutely.
And freely given?
Yes, sir.
All right, this will stand as your sworn statement regarding these topics. And it is currently 12:16 in the afternoon.